Hey friends, welcome to Girls Night. I'm Stephanie Mae Wilson, and I'm so happy that you're here. Each week, I have a girlfriend over, and we talk through one of the biggest questions we have about our lives as women. We're talking about friendships and faith and relationships and self-confidence, about our calling in life and how to live every bit of our lives to the full. Life is so much better and easier and absolutely more fun when we navigate it together as girlfriends, and I cannot wait to get started. So friends, officially, welcome to season 17 of the Girls Night podcast. I am super excited to be back. We have some really amazing guests lined up, and I cannot wait to introduce you to them. But today's guest really doesn't need an introduction because y'all already know him. Today, my sweet and amazing husband, Carl Wilson, is joining me back on the show. I'm really excited about today's conversation. Today, we're talking about how to plan holiday celebrations with your spouse and talk through your expectations. Valentine's Day is this week, and so in honor of that, we're going to tell you the story of our very first Valentine's Day together. Spoiler alert, it was a bit of a disaster. And we're going to tell you how we learned very quickly that talking through your expectations is a must for a healthy and happy marriage, one, but for happy celebrations throughout the year. Here are just a few of the other things that we talk about in this episode. We'll talk about how to plan for special occasions like Valentine's Day or birthdays and get on the same page about gifts and what you're going to do to celebrate. We'll talk about how to split up time between families during holidays like Thanksgiving or Christmas, and also how to think about what traditions you might want to create together. We'll also tell you the story behind our new course, the Marriage Starter Kit, and how it came to be, what it's about, and I can't wait to tell you all about it. Friends, if you have ever felt disappointed after a holiday because things didn't go the way that you hoped they would, I think a lot of us feel that way, this conversation is for you. But before we dive in, if anyone is still looking for a treat for themselves or for their significant other for Valentine's Day this week, I have a great idea. So I'm so excited to share with you that registration is currently open this week for my two relationship courses, my best-selling course, Live Your Single Life, and our newest course, The Marriage Starter Kit. Friends, I would love to have you join us for either one of these courses, and I want to tell you just a little bit about them. So Love Your Single Life is a four-week course that teaches a step-by-step plan to savor, enjoy, and truly make the most of your single life, all while setting yourself up for amazing relationships and marriage in the future. We have had more than 7,000 women join us for the course in the last few years, and I will honestly never get over the ways that God has used it in women's lives. Registration for the course only opens up twice a year, and the next time won't be for at least another 6 months. You can find out all about the course at loveyoursinglelife.com. That link will also be in our show notes. Again, that's loveyoursinglelife.com, and you can sign up there too. But make sure to do it soon because registration is closing again at the end of the week. Next is the course that both Carl and I teach, and it's called the Marriage Starter Kit. This six-week course is for couples in their first few years of marriage, and in it, you'll learn what you can do today to set yourselves up for the marriage, the family, and the future that you both want. So again, registration for both of these courses is open right this second. We've never done this before. We've never done it at the same time, but they're open right this second, and they'll be open all week. And so make sure to head to my website. It's stephaniemaewilson.com, and all of the information will be there for both courses. You can check them out and see if either of them would be a good fit for you right now. The other thing I wanted to say is, I know that some of you may be listening to this episode after registration week is over. If that's you, go ahead and go to my website anyway and check out the courses. That way you can see if they'd be a good fit for you and you can get your name on the waiting list there too. That way you'll be the first to know next time registration opens up. All right, friends. With all of that said, let's jump into the episode. Here's my conversation with Carl. You guys, welcome to season 17 of the Girls Night Podcast. Welcome. I cannot believe it's been 17 seasons.
That's really wild.
17.
Actually. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Carl Wilson, welcome back to the
Thank
show.
Thank you. Longtime listener.
That's not true.
Third time guest. I don't know. How many times?
I don't know, but
I don't know either.
It honestly hasn't been recently because I think that the last time we recorded, we were either sitting on the couch,
yeah,
crowded around a microphone, or we were sitting in our closet, and I can't really remember.
I don't know either. Probably closet.
So I'm really glad to have you back. We have a new setup that we're kind of working on here at Girls Night. We need something above here. So if you guys have any ideas, let us know. But I'm really, really excited to start off a new season. I have some big dreams for this next year. And I also am so excited to have you here because we have something really fun starting, or I mean, happening this week.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this much more at the end. But you guys who have been around here for a while know, or may know, that we, for the very first time last year, taught a marriage course. And it wasn't technically a marriage course. It was more like a marriage prep course, right?
Yeah. It was primarily for, we originally thought it was going to be for people who were engaged or about to be engaged and kind of heading into what it looks like. And it would be all things, here's how to do engagement well, here's how to plan, you know, your wedding, a lot of like mix of practical, but also all of the other things that go into that, you know, how to make the most of this time together and also as an individual before your wedding. And
it was awesome. We loved the couples that we got to meet. We had like 50 couples join us, which was really, really cool. The thing that we ended up loving the most, Carl offered this to the guys at first, and it was like one-on-one calls with him. And he would come out after doing a call with one of the guys. The girls and I planned initially to do a Facebook group. And you would come out after the calls with the guys and you would have had such a good time that I halfway through was like, I'm very jealous we're doing our own calls too.
Yeah.
But it was on those calls that I feel like we got a better sense of kind of what we want to be talking about.
Yeah.
I feel like our very best conversations the whole time throughout the course were with couples who were actually already married.
Yeah. There's just something different. Marriage is one of those things that is hard to understand until you've done a little bit of it. It's hard to know everything is just theoretical.
Yeah.
And that gives it a different context when it's not theoretical anymore. And it's actually, the conversation changed from just, for example, if you're having a fight about, or if you have a fight about this in the future, these are some things to think about, to we're fighting about this right now. What do we do?
Yeah. And so anyway, that we have changed the name of the course. It was called Tie the Knot, but since it's really more geared towards couples who have already done that, we're calling it the Marriage Starter Kit. And we're super excited about that. And really, it's for couples who are really for newlyweds. But I know that we're probably going to have people asking us about this. If you are engaged or if you have been married for however long, or if you're seriously dating and the stuff that we're going to talk about sounds like it's something like, it sounds like a conversation you want to have right now, you're totally welcome to join us. But really, this is helping couples lay a foundation in their first couple years of marriage. And we'll talk about it later. But anyway, that is why.
It's not that it's not for people who are engaged or about to be engaged. We just want to kind of shift the focus a little bit away from specifically the event and single day of a wedding and more into the beginnings of a marriage. And so when we say newlyweds, that's kind of up to you all to decide if you are that.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, we've been married for a year. Are we still newlyweds? If you feel like you're still newlyweds or you want to just join, then you can be newlyweds. We've been married for 5 years. Are we still newlyweds? Like, in the grand scheme of things, like, do you qualify? Sure. It's more about attitude than like a specific time frame.
So we'll give more details, like I said, later. If you want to check out the course, I would say go to just my regular website. It'll be up top there. Yeah. It's StephanieMayWilson.com. I want to give you guys a million more details, but I also really want to get into why we have you here today.
Totally.
Carl, before we dive in, I do want to ask you, I'm not going to ask you for a fun fact.
Cool.
But I think instead, backing up just a little bit, today's questions were prepared by my amazing podcast producer, Kate. Kate is like just my right-hand gal. I don't honestly know what I would do without her. And so she put these questions together. So really, Kate is our host today. Cool. She's sort of like our silent host. But one of the questions that she had for the beginning, since we've had you do a bunch of fun facts, she wanted to just ask like how we're doing. You know, we're parents of... Yeah. 2 year olds now. And the last time we probably gave an update about like how it's going was a while ago. And so, we're going to start off with that. This is Carl. You're my husband.
I am.
That's that. But how are we doing right now?
I think we're doing awesome. I think that every day I love what we're doing as a family more. There are new and different, you know, challenges, the things that are hard now weren't even like an idea a year ago of like, what do you mean you don't want to, you know, you want to run around the halls and not go to bed? Like you could not run around anywhere a year ago. And you have opinions now and you have attitudes and all those kind of things. And so how that's changed our dynamic as parents has introduced all of, you know, these new questions and thoughts and feelings. And we're thinking about, you know, where do we send them to daycare / schools, like preschool? And what does that conversation look like for us as a couple? And so I think that there's always something new, but I do like each part more than the one before as a parent and also as a husband, the things that we get to do and the way that we get to build a family and a life. So it's parenting for sure is one of those things like marriage that's really hard to wrap your head around realistically until you're in it. And I think that the tricky part is where with like marriage, you're married to, like, we change and we grow and evolve, but like at this point in life, we're pretty much who we're going to be. Being a parent is totally different because they're not even close to who they're going to be. They're different week to week. Mm-hmm. And so it's just constantly this two little moving targets running around all over the place. And it's really cool though.
They are hilarious.
They are very funny. They've inherited that and I love it.
From who?
Well, it's up to other people to decide.
All right. I love that. Okay. All right. Let's get to Kate's questions. So the reason that I wanted to talk about Valentine's Day is because as you're listening to this, it may actually be Valentine's Day or it's Valentine's Day week. Valentine's Day season. Like everything turned pink, like pretty much right after New Year's.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day has always been really hard for me. I think when I was single, it was always this unwelcome reminder of my singleness. And, it felt like, even if it wasn't true, it felt like everyone around me was getting more attention, more love, more affirmation, more appreciation, more everything than I was. And I think that I expected that to stop once we started dating and got married. But I think that the Valentine's Day conversation changes as you get married or as you get into a relationship, because all of a sudden because the comparison piece doesn't go away.
Right.
You're seeing, you know, how many bouquets of flowers so-and-so's husband got them instead of like, and you're holding one or, you know, it just is this holiday that I think sets us all up for like massive romantic failure. Mm-hmm. And once we're in a relationship, and I think the things that we learned really early on from some Valentine's Day fiascos have helped us out so much when it comes to all of the other big milestones and holidays that we encounter throughout the year, like anniversaries, this is when we started dating, Christmas, you know, I mean, there are just all kinds of celebrations throughout the year where everyone can end up disappointed if you don't do a couple things. And I'm really grateful that we learned those things. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I want to start out... by talking about our first Valentine's Day.
Sure. We've told this story before, I think.
I know, but it's really worth repeating.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
Okay. We'll do the short version. So Carl pursued me hard when we started dating. Like you pulled out all the stops. You were so thoughtful and intentional and romantic. And part of it was that you left the country like very shortly after.
Yeah, we dated for 2 weeks and then I was gone for like 2 or 3 weeks. And so I knew I had to like make an impression or you were...
I'm going to forget about yours. Yeah,
totally.
you worked really, really hard to do really special things for me while you were gone. And we went on really great dates. We both really love food. Yeah. We both really appreciate a good restaurant. We love traveling. So because of that, for our first Valentine's Day, I thought that we were like steadily climbing up a mountain. Yeah. And I was also really excited about Valentine's Day because this was my first, you know, Valentine's Day having a significant other in like a really long time. Sure. So I thought that it was like, you know, kind of a train, like tick, 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 ticking up. And I thought that Valentine's Day was going to be like the pinnacle date.
Totally.
You, in the midst of all of this, as we're talking about our Valentine's Day plans, you start telling me, I think that we were maybe hanging out one time and a Red Lobster commercial came on TV.
I think what happened was No,
you got a gift card for your birthday.
I got a gift card for my birthday.
From our
which
where we
was
worked.
In at the end of October. And I had been saving it for just the right occasion. And I decided that this was the right occasion.
It was like a $20 gift card. So first of all, that wasn't...
I don't know.
It wasn't like going very far.
Well, I guess I don't know how far that gets you at Red Lobster.
I don't either. Maybe not as far as he...
A lot of biscuits.
As far as I used to. Inflation. So you had this gift card.
Yeah.
We're talking about this gift card. And you start saying, I think as a joke, that we're going to go to Red Lobster for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
In your head,
it might have started out as a joke, in fact.
But then I thought, I kept thinking, like, no, you're not really going to take me there.
And it became a challenge.
And so every time we talk about it, I'd say, Carl, what are we doing for Valentine's Day? And he would go, we're going to Red Lobster.
Red Lobster.
And the more you would talk about it, the higher my expectations rose.
Yes.
Until we get to Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And what was your plan?
We're going to Red Lobster.
So I feel like you have to talk about why.
So I get, for one, because it's just all of what we were doing and all of these dates and everything like this, like was the other stuff, the other side, the romantic side, the fancy side, the like pursuit, the like wooing side of things. And it kind of, for me, this way of like, taking all of this stuff that's supposed to be this, right? That this like, but it's all artificial. Valentine's Day is all the things like that expectation and stuff like that. Like this is all around you right now. And you like this idea that it has to be somewhat like something bigger and better and more just because this one arbitrary day is like so backwards. So what if it's like about the things that really matter? What if it's about just us being able to be anywhere and sit across from each other and have dinner and it not have to be all this artificial stuff, but just be real stuff and be together. And the challenge of you don't think it's going to happen. And I'm here to tell you that if you tell me that I won't do something, I will do that thing. If this is going to go any farther, you need to understand this. And I need to understand that you are willing to say, yes, I will go to Red Lobster with you.
I feel
if
like
that's what you want to do.
I feel like we should also preface this with like, I don't really eat like seafood.
No, I've never been to a Red Lobster in my life.
So it
that
was
I know
basically
of.
Just like, this is a random chain restaurant that like,
can we make this romantic?
Yeah.
Can we make this? Yeah, if we can have a romantic date night at Red Lobster, we can be romantic and in love anywhere. Sorry, Red Lobster. Really,
I know.
You love Red Lobster, then more power to you. Like I said, we've never been. Yeah. One of these years, we're going to go. And so I guess spoiler alert, we didn't go to Red Lobster.
And you'll hear, we're not fancy. You'll hear our current tradition.
Yeah.
If you're thinking, I like Red Lobster.
Yeah,
just
totally.
Wait, we're with you. So yeah, Valentine's Day came and the day was a little bit set up for failure, I think, because like you, I think really genuinely, we're going to go get me flowers and like, you know.
We just had a rough, like
it was
messy
like,
day at work.
Yeah. So it sort of just didn't happen the way that you planned. Yeah. And then, so you come over to pick me up and I'm like, where are we going? And you're like.
That's another one of those things for me is I appreciate flowers. I appreciate like, I get that certain things you just have to do. I just, the flowers is one of the things that like the surge pricing on Valentine's flowers, I just have such a hard time with. Go on.
So you come to pick me up and I'm like, where are we going? And you're like, we're going to Red Lobster.
Yeah.
And I burst into tears.
Totally.
Just totally cried.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, really what happened is that we didn't actually talk about our expectations
right.
for that day.
Yeah.
So we ended up finding, you know, kind of a random place to eat. We ended up having a good time at a place.
We went to a place. It was actually really cool. Like, it was like live music and
they had like a, you know,
in the basement.
Fixed like fixed price menu or fixed menu or something upstairs.
That's the whole thing is everywhere has the fixed menu. And what if I don't want your cheesy, again, surge pricing 4 ounce steak for anyway.
You probably do if it's cheesy.
Well, I guess it depends.
But I really think that that was like, we ended up having a really good time. And that was
like, it's the kind of thing where like, sorry, I just feel like it's the kind of thing where like places that just like people do weird stuff and they totally become someone different on Valentine's Day. And it's in my head, I have this picture of a place that would never serve seafood, not Red Lobster, like serving oysters because it's Valentine's Day. And you're like, stop it. That's not, don't do that. Be yourself on Valentine's Day.
Yep. So I think that really what happened was that we just needed to talk about our expectations. Totally. We just needed to talk about like, what does Valentine's Day mean to you?
Right.
And how do you want to celebrate it? And so we did. Based on that night kind of not going well, the next Valentine's Day or for next year, we talked about it and we're like, what does this day mean to us? Yeah. And how do we actually want to spend it? And what we decided was you do get me flowers every year, which we can talk about for this year.
It's fine. I pick them out of the neighbor's yard. I don't.
I feel like you said that so quietly.
Don't worry about it.
He said, I pick them out of the neighbor's yard just for reference.
I'm not paying.
I am. So you do give me flowers. And we decided that we, instead of it being like bigger and better every year, Valentine's Day gift, we decided to give it a category.
Yeah.
And because it's February and February is cold and kind of uncomfortable everywhere, we decided that we wanted to do soft things.
Yeah.
And so the next year, so this was our first year married. I told you that I wanted like a big spa robe.
Yeah.
And we went to Macy's to go pick one out. And so it's actually Valentine's Day.
I think because this was the nicest place, Macy's was the nicest place at the mall where we lived.
That's probably true.
Probably true.
Or we had, you know what it probably was? We probably had a wedding gift card.
Oh, definitely did.
We definitely had a wedding gift card.
Definitely did.
From like a vacuum.
We returned like some pans or something.
Yeah. So we went to Macy's and we're getting a big fluffy robe on a gift card. And this sweet woman was there. And we walk into the sexy stuff section at Macy's.
Yeah, the robes are tucked back behind like the lingerie, which is also just exploded all over the place because it's Valentine's Day,
right? Yeah. So we are walking through all of the lingerie and we get like a huge
robe. Excuse me. Do you have any giant oversized robes?
And so we're checking out and the woman was, is chatting with us and finds out that we're newlyweds. Yeah. We'd gotten married like
less than a year.
Yeah, less than a year ago. And she just lost it.
Yeah, you could watch her like short circuit.
Believe that we passed all of the sexy things and got the biggest robe we could find. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
And so that's
kind of the bow on the whole thing. Like, we should have heard where we went to dinner.
Well, so what we decided for dinner is on the gift card, it was not just Red Lobster. It was for like Red Lobster and
the whole
Red Lobster group. And so we decided that, you know, we're not big Red Lobster people, but we are like really pretty serious Olive Garden people.
Oh, gee.
And so that became our go-to.
Yeah.
So on Valentine's Day, we go to Olive Garden and we buy each other soft things. And you can't even make reservations at Olive Garden, which is like kind of rough.
Fight it out.
And that is our Valentine's Day tradition now. And that's kind of how it came about.
Yeah. So it's this combination of like this part of who we want to be and how we want to be together that goes back to that initial Valentine's Day and what was important to both of us in that time. That like after we talked about it and had the conversation, you were like, I just want to know that we're doing something thoughtful and intentional and that there's a plan here and that it's special to you because this is special to me. And the same, I was like, yeah, I want it to be special too, but I want it to be our kind of special. I want it to not have to be this copy paste of all of this hype and commercialism. And I'm like, I'm not like, you know, I get it. It's my whole job is like commercialism. But like, I get like, I just in the same way want it to be something that is special to us. And there's so much pressure. I think this is a part that, that people don't necessarily understand is that like, for all of the expectation that I feel like some people have, a lot of like women are just fed this whole world of expectation and then everything has to be better. And this comparison, the like mirror of that on the guy side is how can I ever get it right? Mm. Like how can I ever get something big enough or do enough or like how many roses is enough roses and how many is too many? And like, how do I know if like I am supposed to send them to the office? Is that embarrassing? Is that unprofessional? Is that good? Or like, do I, maybe she doesn't like roses. I need to get a different kind of flower. And like, am I supposed to get chocolate? Do I have to get chocolate? Like she doesn't really like chocolate, but am I supposed to just because it's Valentine's Day? And like, jewelry or not jewelry. And I don't really want to, like, we just kind of started dating. Do I need to spend a bunch of money on jewelry? And like, they all look bad and they're all hearts. And like, I don't know. There's just, at what point in a relationship is it okay or good or normal to buy like lingerie for somebody? Like we've been married for a while. Is that something I feel uncomfortable buying lingerie? Like just going in and talking to the people. Like, is that a thing? Like, all of this stuff is just running through guys' heads and it feels like a trap.
Well, and the lingerie thing is like, are you telling me I don't wear lingerie enough? Like, is
there's
this,
so, you know, it's many, like- there's so many like snares and pitfalls and places to go wrong and to screw it up. And so often I think it's not that guys don't want to be romantic. It's that the idea of what it looks like to be romantic is so distorted that it's impossible to put any like put anything personal behind it, I think, for a lot of guys. Mm. And women too, I think. What does it look like for a woman to be romantic? Like, how does that work? Totally. But those things that like, yeah, I just think that the whole, this whole, and it comes, it happens all the time. This is not new stuff. This is like year round. It's, and that's kind of the point, right? Is it doesn't have to, you don't just be romantic on Valentine's Day. And that's the one day you cash in your, we're like really in love card. And then the rest of the time is like all downhill until you get back to February. Like, no, I think what we're trying to get at, what we tried to understand is like, help me understand what's important on these particular days. And then most of our energy can go to making the other days really like meaningful and being romantic in real life, not in, you know, hyped up Valentine's life.
Yeah, I love that. And I really love our tradition now because it takes a lot of the pressure off. You know, it's, I'm not buying you like, I don't know what it looks like to be romantic for a guy because there are less commercials about that. Totally. You know, it's like, I'm not going to buy you jewelry. It seems weird to buy you flowers. And I don't really like the chocolates that come in the heart-shaped boxes and are filled with like the weird green, pink goo stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, if you do, let me know. I'll get you some.
Totally.
It's so having a category, like this is what we get for each other. Maybe it's like a book. Maybe it's, or maybe it's, you know, we do this a lot. We forego like physical gifts for experiences a lot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll go like, please don't buy me whatever. For me, it's, I always want a plane ticket. Like just, or the promise of one, you know, it's let's plan something. Let's do something or let's go to a really nice dinner. I'd rather have that than like most things usually. But I think the point is like, there aren't any rules. We get to decide. But if we don't decide and if we don't decide together, we're setting everybody up for failure.
Right.
I think one of the fears, and I want to hear just what you have to say about this, when it comes to all of the things that fall under this category of like special, romantic, whatever, it's not just Valentine's Day, it's like date nights, like who plans them? What are they? Mm-hmm. You know, what do we do? And I think that's a really common place to feel like you're failing as a couple at some point. You know, it also like Christmas and birthdays and different things. I think that there's this feeling that it's not romantic if you have to tell someone what you want.
Right.
And I just want to hear like what you have to say about that.
Well, I think that if you want people to have the ability to be creative and you want somebody to have the ability to like dream a little bit, boundaries actually help. Boundaries are actually super helpful. Like some guidelines are really helpful in helping people eliminate all of the options and focus on how do I make something meaningful out of a few, like choices that I have. And so it doesn't have to mean that you, and this is part of the conversation, to go, I don't want to know all the things. Or if you do, I want to know all the things. I don't want to be surprised. I want us to talk about this so I know that we're on the same page. Like, cool. That's a choice. It's also a choice to say, you know what? Here are some options. Take these and run with them. Or here are some things that I like or some things that I don't like. Or here are some, I've been really meaning to do this. And you may have to like say it a couple times, or you may have to, you know, be more direct with certain people. That's part about of like learning how you communicate with the other person. But if you I think if you don't make yourself clear, if you really do have, this is a classic communication thing in married couples, and well, any couples, honestly. If you have a preference, but you don't state that preference, you don't get to be mad if that preference doesn't like get honored. You can't assume that somebody will just intuit your preference.
Yeah.
And if you have an opinion, if you have a, you know, particular desire, want something to be done a certain way, and you don't communicate that, then you don't get to be mad that it didn't just like magically get done the way that you wanted it to be done. And so that's a spectrum, right? Whatever that looks like for you and how particular you want to be, or how, you know, specific about whatever the thing is. I don't know, there's tons of examples. Like, I really want jewelry. I really do want jewelry. And you have to be okay if somebody says like, I don't know. Or that's like, okay, cool. You're going to get a toe ring this year. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, no, I just really want a new toe ring. So
writing that down.
Yeah.
I can make that happen.
But learning to be mutually flexible together, to both, to like, I think that paying attention and working together to find the version of that that works for both of you, right? This goes back to the thing of like the really lofty expectations. There's a balance to that. There's another side that your partner, your other person is experiencing. And are you making it easy for them to do the thing that you want and to like to make you happy, or hard to make you happy? And I think that's the point, is like, does it really mean more if they have to like jump through a whole bunch of hoops and guess and like solve a crossword to like figure out what you want? Is our job to make it doable and achievable and attainable to like make us happy and please us, or to make it really difficult?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Friends, springtime is finally here, but that also means allergy season is in full swing. I have always struggled with allergies, and I don't know about you, but I am especially allergic to cats. More on that in a second. Well, luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. The time that I use Claritin the absolute most is when I'm at my parents' house, my childhood home. They have this absolutely beautiful cat that they love and I like, except for the fact that he sheds so much. So that means that I'm basically sneezing from the second I arrive home to the second I leave, unless I take Claritin. My dad has even started having it ready for me right when I walk in the door. Are you ready to live life as though you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Claritin, thank you so much for sponsoring our girls' night. We love having you. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. As many of you know, I recently wrote a book, and while it was the most rewarding project of my career so far, it also came with a lot of hard work and long nights. And sometimes when things started to feel a little bit overwhelming, I needed to get a few things off my chest so I could clear my mind and keep the writing process flowing. And the thing that helped me so much to sort through those feelings was therapy. Now tell me if any of this sounds familiar. Maybe you're going through something really hard right now, a big loss or a gigantic life transition. Maybe you frequently feel anxious, depressed, overwhelmed, or just generally discouraged. Maybe you really, really, really want your life circumstances to change, but you don't know how to actually change them. Or maybe you're feeling stuck as you try to work through your past, navigate your present, or figure out your future. Friend, if you can relate to any of this, you're not alone. I've been there, and therapy has been the thing that has helped me more than anything else with all of this. In the last 10 years or so, I've learned that strength isn't proving I can do it on my own. It's knowing that I don't have to. I'm at my strongest when I have a full support system around me, and an essential part of my support system is therapy. Therapy can be absolutely life-changing. That is, if you can afford it and find a therapist you like and trust. But of course, this is easier said than done, and that's why I'm so excited to be partnering with this week's podcast sponsor. Our sponsor for today's episode is BetterHelp. BetterHelp is the easiest and most affordable way I've ever found to find a great therapist. It's entirely online and super easy to sign up. You can get started right away, and if you don't love the counselor you're paired with, switching is easy and it's free. If you're going through something hard in your relationships, or if you're in a funk you just can't shake, if you've been feeling anxious or depressed lately, or if you're feeling stressed and you need help balancing your everyday life and schedule, BetterHelp is an incredible resource for you. And I'm so thankful that they've given me a promo code that I can share with you to make it even easier to get started. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/friendship today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/friendship. I wanted, one of the things that Kate asked was kind of what our like traditions are for different holidays. And so I want to run through a few of them because we really have taken this Valentine's Day thing and like used the same kind of method right. in so many different, because like I said, there is opportunity for disappointment constantly if you don't, or comparison if you don't kind of talk through this. And so I think maybe the next thing is like probably my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a tricky one. I'm a big birthday person.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things I've been learning about my birthday in the last handful of years is one, I like experiences. So we, for you know, a handful of years, had to take a little break the last couple of years. Some things going on. But we would do like a hotel night.
Yeah.
And I really liked that. Right. And it just felt like a mini vacation. Sometimes we would drive to like, I think we went to Chattanooga one year and like that's 2.5 hours. We went to Birmingham, that's 3.5 hours. Like we just, I like that. It's just concentrated time together. We're gone for like 24 hours. It doesn't have to be expensive, but it makes me feel special. And
but that's a really good example of that flexibility, that like mutual flexibility of like, I really want to do, I want to do something new. I want to go somewhere new. And sometimes that's okay. We're going to like go to a hotel here and like find way. And then it's like, okay, I don't have to think about all the million things we could do. I just have like, my criteria is, are we going to go somewhere new? And is it going to feel new and special?
Mm-hmm.
And or And you have to, though, also be flexible of like not believing this is the year we're going to Paris. Like, you're just setting yourself up. And I don't mean that in like a bad way, but like, are it's the same thing, just the introspective version of like, am I making myself easy to please? Right? Mm-hmm. Am I approaching this with an attitude of like, I need to be impressed? Or am I approaching this from an attitude of, I am easy to please? I'm gonna join my partner in making this great.
Yeah, I really like that. So that's kind of what we started doing a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I think that there are times for, let's go to Paris. And if you ever want to surprise me and take me to Paris for my birthday, you know that that's totally welcome.
Totally.
But I mean, also, we just haven't been in that place for the last...
Yeah. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Of like, I'm not trying to lower the bar for the sake of lowering the bar and like setting low expectations because they're easy to meet. Right? I'm saying that there is a mutual benefit to learning to dream within the bounds and learning to be satisfied and happy within the bounds of what's realistic for where you are at this moment in time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there are certain things that like just aren't very feasible given everything else that we have going on in our lives. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay for that to be part of where we are right now. And to go, because of where we are right now, this is what the version of this looks like for us. And to find beauty in that. I think this goes all the way back to the Red Lobster thing of like, it wasn't about this because we had gone on a lot of dates and stuff like that, but we weren't making a ton of money at the time. We were both working at this nonprofit and that was like, and we're trying to like...
I think at the time you were saving for a ring.
I probably was saving for a ring. And so there's all these other factors that go into it. And sometimes you go, you know what? It helps you appreciate all the different pieces of it. And I think that shouldn't be lost. There is a world where guys are lazy and don't think about how to do something special and don't think about how to like get to the, you know, to take what's available to them and make something really great about it. And I'm not trying to get off the hook. Or let those people off the hook but I do think I understand why that happens. And it's because if you feel like you can never win, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, if you feel like you're just going to be disappointed. Okay. Like, I don't know.
Might as well not try and not fail then.
It sucks, but like, that's really, I understand it. I'm not making excuses for it. I just understand it.
Yeah. I think one of the things that we have also learned over the years is, and this is more about like date nights, we haven't really in the last, I guess there was a minute there where we, I think, had date nights every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it was a while ago. I don't remember if it was Tuesdays. Yeah. But we haven't been regular every week date night people in like years.
Right.
And I know that that works for a lot of people in theory. We're like, yeah, we're in for that. In practice, we like don't have it in us to get dressed and go out and, you know, do a big thing once a week. And so anyway, I wanted to say that just in case, because I know that that's really commonly passed around relationship advice, that like you need a really solid weekly date night.
And I think it's a moment of dedicated, like intentional connection.
Well, and so that's what I was going to say is we decided a long time ago, I know we've shared this before, we've had just wonderful vacations and dates and things. Like I said, we love food. We love beautiful things. Yeah. That's something we really, really appreciate and value is great experiences. So we've had our fair share. But we kind of discovered pretty early on that our favorite dates together were usually us going to Chick-fil-A or someplace like really, really casual.
Planting seeds, Red Lobster.
What?
Just
going someplace really casual, like Red Lobster, and just having eating there, having a conversation with each other, just taking all the pressure off. And then usually we go like walk around Target or something afterwards. And I feel like we've had our fun, our funniest conversations, some of our best conversations. When the night or the day is just lower key. And I remember we were in Hawaii at this gorgeous, gorgeous hotel. And I remember thinking, today has felt hard for some reason. And I feel like our last Chick-fil-A day was more fun than this day in Hawaii. And it was just a weird day.
Right.
But it really is. I'm the kind of person that can put a ton of pressure on something and that can zap it of a lot of its joy. And so I have to really battle that on vacations and on, you know, fancy dates, whereas there aren't any expectations for a really casual date. And so I feel like I'm just able to enjoy it more.
Yeah, there are for sure times to do activities and to go do new things and to mix it up and to experience something that you haven't done before. And I think that's an important dynamic and a really good practice is to do new things together. But it doesn't have to be all the time. Everything doesn't have to be a new thing. Sometimes it is when you don't have to think about, you know, the setting and what you're doing. You don't actually care about how you look that much. Then you can focus on other stuff. It just frees up your brain a little bit and frees up your attention and your emotions. And there's something to be said for eliminating some of the noise.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, Lindsay, my birthday. For our anniversary, we pretty consistently do a hotel night and a nice dinner. And we don't really do anniversary presents, do we?
No, not really. It's like just a choice. It's in the middle of like other stuff. We're usually traveling somewhat in the summer and 4th of July. And so there's other things going on. And so we just try and carve out a little bit of time in the chaos and again, have it be special, not like it's so many other things going on usually in the middle of the summer.
Yeah. But that's something that we don't skip that ever.
Totally.
That's always something that we carve out time for. It's not a maybe, it's an always. And it can be different like sizes. You know, usually it's, you know, a close by kind of like hotel or something, you know, or we're visiting your parents and we sneak off for a night and something like that. And then I think the other thing I'd love to talk about is Thanksgiving and Christmas real quick.
Okay.
Just because I know that the thing that I love about all of this is that we get to define this for ourselves.
Yeah.
We get to say what's important to us and then we get to act accordingly. And I feel like we've done that probably with the most creativity at Thanksgiving and Christmas. So maybe let's talk about Thanksgiving and kind of how we celebrate it.
Okay.
You want to go?
How do we celebrate?
Well, one of the things that we've done in the past is we have done it with both of our families. You guys were so gracious to invite my family out from Colorado to come and spend Thanksgiving with you in Indianapolis. And so it made our Thanksgiving huge, but that's a really important holiday for you guys. It's been one that my family hasn't really loved for, my grandparents, my dad's parents lived in Colorado with us or by us. And so we always celebrated Thanksgiving with them, but they passed away when I was pretty young. And so then it was just us at Thanksgiving and I didn't love that. Yeah. And so I think if it were up to me, I probably would have just skipped Thanksgiving. It just felt like there was just like something missing every year. And so getting to join in with the Wilsons and you guys love Thanksgiving and it's always a huge deal.
Big eaters.
Same. And then to be able to invite my family into it too has been really cool. And so I think that's also something that we get to decide is like, what size holiday is this for us?
Yeah, there's this piece of like, this is just kind of how I don't know how it began and kind of, I think organically of like, just, yeah, of course you can come to Thanksgiving. And like not before Steph and before Steph's family of just like friends and people of... was just kind of became one of those things where, yeah, come on. And we just kept adding chairs to the table, you know? And so I think it became this natural extension to just go, well, why choose? Why have to decide? Why can't we just do this together? And I think that that's this attitude of, that goes two ways. It's just that, why choose? And not everybody, that's tricky, but really it's an option. To just be, you know, a lot of people make a big deal about having to choose around Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so just every once in a while, nope, just everybody go together. And that's something that we did even when I was growing up, you know, there were moments of that. But also it's one of those places where I think we just get into, whether it's traditions or just habits or just the way that things have always been done, we forget that we can do it differently. We forget that we can offer a different, you know, alternative to the way things have been done. And it's not, it's every family is different. That there are some things that are, you know, this is the way we do things, and some families that are, this is the way we do things, and some that are more, you know, go with the flow or whatever. But I think there's a lot of this with your family in particular, this Thanksgiving example. I don't know that it was very intentional, like way ahead of time. I think that when we talk about all of the things, marriage planning and starter kit and all this stuff, is what do you do in this situation? And that you can plan a bunch of things out, but you can't plan all the things, and your family won't be ready to plan all the things, and it'll just be hypothetical. And so sometimes you just have to realize in the moment, I think, that like, oh, we're doing that now. Like now the things that we're deciding are things that have the opportunity to be the new way that we do things, or for us to do something different, or to not. Like we could have had some conversation way back when and said, okay, when we get married, the first Thanksgiving, we're going to go to my family, and the second, we're going to go to your family. And by the time you actually get to Thanksgiving, that's all out the window. And so you can either get upset that it didn't go the way you thought it was going to go, or you can just roll with it and say, oh, we're planning it now. Like now is the time when we're deciding what we do this year.
And every tradition had a year one.
Totally.
So it's like you can, so we probably did Thanksgiving with my family flying out to you guys probably 3 times.
Yeah, something like that.
And like that's, it became this really beautiful thing. I mean, then COVID happened and the girls were born. And so now we make more people come to us. But that's why it didn't continue in exactly that form. But yeah, there's a first year for everything.
Right.
I think, you know, Christmas for me has always been super, super important. And I just love it. I want to be so present for it. I want all of December to feel like magic. And I think that in some ways, in the last couple of years, I've had like a bit of a epiphany, I guess, about Christmas. Yeah. I think that when we're growing up, Christmas is done for us. You know, it's something that our parents are putting together. It's, you know, I saw a lot of things this year about like Christmas magic is like basically like mom and dad or mom, you know, and all the stuff that she's doing after everyone's going to bed. So I think that there's, you know, a long time where like when it comes to Christmas, you're really receiving and you're receiving the plans that other people have made and like you're just a participant along for the ride. And last year we had, or I guess 2 years ago now, we had just a series of things happen that like kind of messed up our Christmas plans. And I remember just being really like kind of taken aback by it and bummed out. And there were all these things that I thought were going to happen for Christmas that didn't really happen because I didn't really take very much initiative. And so I kind of just was hoping that Christmas would feel this certain way. And I was looking around being like, why doesn't it feel this way? It's because I didn't really participate. And so this year, you know, the last couple of years, there have been all kinds of things about the holidays that are really unpredictable. You know, this last year was travel, you know, the year before it was Omicron wave, you know, there are just all kinds of things. But this last year, I spent some time thinking about the things that make Christmas feel really magical to me. Mm-hmm. And I just decided that I was going to be the captain of those things. And it doesn't mean that I'm the captain of everything, but it just was like, I love zoo lights. I just love it. And so I made sure that we got tickets in Denver and in Nashville. We went to Zoo Lights twice. Yep. I really wanted to do Christmas pajamas. Your mom started that tradition and we weren't going to be with them on actual Christmas. And so I was like, I'm not letting that not happen because Kathy Wilson's not here. We're doing Christmas jammies. And so I ordered them like a month in advance. And We did Christmas cookies because also having kids, I realized like this was the first year that the girls could do something like that. And it just sort of clicked in my head that it was like, now's the time. Like this is when some of these Christmas traditions.
This is year one.
This is year one. Yeah. Like I get to decide what we do as a family. And I think part of it, you know, as you're creating these different traditions for yourself, you get to decide what to add. You also get to decide what to toss out. Like we didn't do any ornaments this year because we were like, we have two-year-olds. Like nobody wants to play that game. And so we just didn't. We just didn't put up a single ornament. But we did all kinds of other things. And so I think that was just really empowering for me this year to decide that not only do we as a family get to make our own traditions, but me as Stephanie, I get to make traditions even just for myself. Like I can say on my birthday, I start the day by taking myself here or by taking or deciding that you and I are going to go here. I can make those decisions, but that also I get to set that tone for our family in a lot of ways too. And then we get to also as a couple.
Yeah.
Last question. What happens if you and your spouse have like different opinions about how a holiday should be spent? Like if it's really important to me to do Christmas at my parents' house and it's also really important to you to do Christmas at your parents' house, or if I think Valentine's Day should be celebrated with a brand new piece of jewelry every year because that's what my parents did or something.
Right.
No, that's not true. But, and then you think Valentine's Day is stupid. Also, not totally, a little true. Not totally true.
I don't think Valentine's Day itself is stupid. Let's be clear about this.
Sorry, excuse me.
I think that all of the extra that's been added on to sell chocolate and overpriced flowers is stupid.
Yeah. But yeah, so what do we do if like something is important to us? And
it's not any different than any other part of your relationship. If something like where there's a disagreement about what's important. So it's not exclusive to, I think, holidays. I think it's if you believe that if it's really important to you that the laundry be done a certain way and it's not important to me, then we have a conversation about it and we figure out like what actually, like what's the most honoring thing? Is it like, do I just suck it up? And this is totally hypothetical, but like, do I just say, I know this is ridiculous, but like, yeah, I'll do that. If that's really, if it's really that important to you, like we constantly are given this choice between, is this a point where we're going to take a stand or I'm going to like take the opportunity to just honor the person? And I think this is a really important thing, that honor is such a unrecognized part of every healthy relationship. We talk about love and we talk about trust and we talk about, you know, a lot of other words, but I think that honor doesn't get brought up very much. And the best way that I can describe, there's a lot, but one of the ways that honor is realized is that honor is about valuing the person over the request. The requestor is more important than the request. And so I may think the request is really dumb, but I don't think you're dumb. I may think the request is really stupid and ridiculous, but you are not stupid and ridiculous. And so I will go along with the stupid, ridiculous request because of my honor and to honor the person because I love and respect the person making the request. And that's not a, you know, there's a big piece of that. How do we mutually honor each other? If you keep asking me to do ridiculous things just for the sake of doing ridiculous things, or like if we really took a step back and objectively talked about it, understand why this is important to you and what part of it is really important to you, I think we would come to a place where there's understanding in the nuance and it doesn't have to be so absolute. Like not everything has to be so absolute. There's room for understanding and compromise and figuring out a scenario that allows us both to agree on how something, you know, how we go. But I think beginning with that place of honor and honoring the requester more, you know, than the request is a good place to start.
Yeah. I really like that. And I like also the idea of, I mean, just really fit what about this is important to you?
Yeah.
And being able to really identify that. Because, you know, for the Christmas example, like if it's really important to you to wake up on Christmas morning, you know, be with your family and do the whole Christmas morning thing. Well, like I would say that's important to both of us. We have for years just done more than one Christmas.
Right.
And I couldn't tell you on any given year, we usually swap between families. We'll do one family leading up to Christmas and then we'll do Christmas morning with them. We usually fly on Christmas, like in the afternoon or something. And then we usually will do like second Christmas the next day. But I couldn't tell you which year was like actual Christmas. Like we just have several each year and it's, we just pretend and just do it all over again. Yeah. And it's so special. And so I think that knowing that like when we can figure out what the actual thing is, what's really important, and then take some of the parameters off of it, like peel back some of the rules. Be like, okay, well, what if we could have two Christmas mornings?
Right.
Well, like one of them's not technically Christmas morning, but I have a feeling you're probably not going to remember which one if you give it a couple years. And you get to decide. You get to decide whether that's a deal breaker for you or not. Or you can decide, you know, having two Christmas, you know, each of us having Christmas morning with our families is important to both of us. So let's have it be important to both of us and let's do both and both decide to like really show up and participate for both.
This is probably a different episode of the podcast, but the more we're able to transition our own happiness and satisfaction and fulfillment into our ability like to be flexible versus somebody else's ability to be accommodating, like we're going to be a lot better off. Mm-hmm. So if I can trade my own flexibility around those situations, or if I can teach myself to be more flexible in those situations and not be reliant on other people's ability to accommodate me and to for them to be flexible, for me to be happy, then I'm going to be happy a lot more often. If you're very particular and you want to be very particular, then you either have to deal with being disappointed a lot that other people weren't being willing to be your particular brand of particular, or find somebody that has no will and just will do whatever you say and deal with the consequences of that.
Yeah.
But if you want someone who has opinions, sometimes their opinions are going to be different than yours and you're going to have to learn to, like, you guys have to figure it out. And sometimes that means you do things differently and they do things differently.
Yeah.
And your collective ability to agree on how to do things differently and embrace the fact that you can do things differently means you'll be happier more often than not.
That was good. I like that. okay, so we're running out of time, or we're out of time. But just to kind of finish up, if there is anyone listening who is newlywed, or
whatever if, that means,
whatever that means, or if you're anywhere kind of in the
years, but
listen,
hey,
if you're anywhere in kind of the transition into marriage, I think the reason that this course is so important to me is because I feel like I was just talking to somebody about this. When you're engaged, everyone's in your corner and everyone's asking you questions and giving you advice and talking to you, and you just are so not alone. But it's like kind of as soon as you get married, it feels like people sort of forget about you or just sort of move on or don't know what questions to ask you. They say like, so how's married life? And you get to decide whether you say it's great or whether this is the moment or the person that you want to talk to about something hard that may be happening. I know that for a lot of couples, they're like, this is good. I'm like, this is good. It's going well, I think. I mean, I don't totally know what I'm doing or we don't know what we're doing, but we think it's going well. And, you know, but we don't know what to base that off of, or we're kind of struggling in a couple ways, but it seems really early to decide to sign up for like full on counseling. Like, is it too early? I don't know. There just isn't a lot for couples after you get married. And it is an enormous life transition. Like one of the biggest transitions you ever go through in life. And just over the last handful of years, it has just not sat well with me that we just leave. Like, there's premarital counseling, but there's not, after you're already married, let's give you a hand through this. And I just think that that's really needed. And so that's why we created this course. And if you think it sounds like it's up your alley, we'd love for you to join us.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who don't have access to premarital counseling or in a way that's meaningful and will connect with them. I think, like we said before, that even if you do, it's not going to hit the same because you've never done it before. You've never experienced a lot of the same things. And so that transition from, well, if this happens, then is versus this is happening, now what, is really meaningful and is why we think that this is really important, because it's not the, I don't know, you're not the parts of marriage that we need people to help us navigate aren't hypotheticals. And it's just hard to do ahead of time.
Again, all the info will be on my website. I'll make sure it's really easy to find. StephanieMayWilson.com. Easy for me to say. Carl, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah. Babies are coming home.
Okay. All right. We're going to go get them. Thanks, guys. Friends, isn't Carl amazing? I just love him, and I'm so happy that you got to hear our conversation. Now, don't forget that if you ever want to find the links for anything we talk about in our Girls Night episodes, you can always find those over in our show notes. Just head over to girlsnightpodcast.com and you'll find links for everything, including links for the Marriage Starter Kit and the Love Your Single Life courses. Don't forget, registration for both courses is open this week only, and we would love to have you join us. All right, friends, that's it for today's episode, but we have so much good stuff ahead this season. And with that in mind, now is the perfect time to make sure you're subscribed. Subscribing to the show is the best way to make sure you never miss an episode. I won't send you an email or anything. It just makes sure your phone downloads the latest episode when a new one's released. And I did want to take a quick second to ask y'all a favor. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you've been a Girls Night fan for a while now, would you take just 2 quick seconds to leave us a rating and a review on iTunes? Those reviews help out our podcast so much, and it really would mean the world to me. So if you take 2 quick seconds to do that, I'd be so grateful. Friends, thank you so much for joining me for Girls Night. I'll see you next week.